I'm bringing hassle back. Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Bingen. And now joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. So I imagine you've had the opportunity to watch back the Titans game. I would love your evaluation of Will Levis's performance. I know we all remember what happened with the pick at the end of the game, but overall, and specifically half to half, what did you see from Will Levis on Sunday against Chicago?
Yeah, I actually thought he played well in the first half. He did not play as well in the second half. And I think generally speaking, and I think this is the case a lot of times for quarterbacks, like, you can play a game and for the most part be fine, you know, be like, yeah, I mean, it's good enough. It's fine. And then when you have, you know, an awful mistake, whether it's a, you know, a red zone interception or a dumb play before a half, or obviously like a, you know, a bonehead play like the one he made in the second half. And then that it just, it's, I think it's so bad in terms of the result that, you know, that really overrides kind of any other feeling that you maybe have about, you know, how he played in the game. And I think that that's, you know, probably how he feels, probably how the team feels. It's probably how I think most people view it, right? Is that he just, you kind of have one of those moments where you make such an awful mistake that ultimately it was a huge contributing factor in terms of losing the football game.
I have a question for you that Derek and Willie and I are going to talk about a little bit later. But Will Levis has now made 10 career starts in the NFL. Mm-hmm. How many starts does a quarterback have to make in order for us to realistically gauge what kind of starting quarterback, in terms of the caliber of starting quarterback, how many starts do you think is a good enough sample to get a real gauge of that?
Well, I would just say this, like in terms of that, like, you know, some guys play 16 games and you're like, yep, guy can play, no question about it, right? Like, I think we feel like C.J. Stroud can play, right? Like, we've seen whatever that is, 17 games of C.J. Stroud. So, like, I think that we feel like that's the case. And, you know, and then I think there's other guys, Baker Mayfield, who, you know, you look at it and it's like, well, wait a minute. He was a starter for years. Then he was, you know, not good, kind of pushed aside, and then was a backup. And now all of a sudden, like, you know, I think people think that he can play. He can really play. And so I think that, you know, it's not the same for everybody. I do think that, you know, you do have to get to, you know, probably at least a season to really have a feeling. You know, Carson Wentz looked like he was going to be an MVP type candidate. He played for, you know, a couple of years, gets hurt, and then all of a sudden, like, he's just not the same. So, look, I think in fairness to Levis, it's going to take some time. I don't think it's going to be one of these things where, you know, after 16 starts or 19 starts or whatever the number ends up being, I think it's, you know, probably over the course of a few seasons. And I think that's probably, you know, the right way to evaluate guys.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsbruck Tigers. Congratulations to another win. Tim, what are you guys, 2-0 or 3-0 now?
3-0, man. Stop cheating us. Come on.
My bad. I'm sorry. Only thing that matters to me is when y'all get in the playoffs and win the state championship. That's all
okay.
The thing that matters
all right,
to me.
I appreciate that. No pressure, D-Mate. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Hey, man, first year head coach, man. You got to prove to them that you're the guy, okay? looking at Will Levis, because Brian Callahan did bring up Joe Burrow, which I think was a little bit, you know, it was a little unfair to Will Levis because he's nowhere near what Joe Burrow has become or what he was in his first 10 games. He brought up the first 10 games. Well, Joe Burrow completed over 65% of his passes and threw for 13 touchdowns. He had 5 interceptions, but you saw, like you said, Tim, you saw the sort of greatness. And then he followed it up with another spectacular season where he completed 70% of his passes. So in 26 games, he completed roughly 67% of his passes. Will Levis seemed to be, and we can blame it on seven different scenarios or reasons, but he seemed to be, as Brian Callahan said, reverting back to those things that you've talked about over and over again. Is that something that Titans fans need to worry about? Not, you know, whether he's going to throw an interception or not, because he will, but him reverting back to those things that are ultimately going to hamper him, which hampers the team.
Yeah, I think that the what nobody knows, including, you know, Brian Callahan or anybody that's coaching these quarterbacks, what nobody knows is, does a guy, when he gets into the heat of the battle, does he revert back to the things, you know, the dumb mistakes like the one we, you know, saw this past weekend? And so, you know, guys can say like, yeah, we think he's been back, you know, he's kind of whatever, matured his way through it. And the truth is, you don't know until the guy's in that situation again to see how he responds. Like, it's, you know, it's a little bit of like a, I don't, you know, fight or flight, like what is going to happen? Because like Will Levis knows that he shouldn't do what he did right now. At the same time, I think he's probably getting coached like, hey, we don't want you to take a sack. You know, we don't want the negative plays. So like, you know, that clearly was a reaction of, hey, I'm just trying to get the football out of my hands so that I don't take the sack. Well, sometimes you do need to take the sack. You know that also, but you don't make that, you know, right decision in at the most critical moment. Right. And so if you think of, let's bring it to other quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, right? Like the big knock on him for the longest time was like, oh, you know, can't play well in the big games in prime time, you know, with a big audience. And, you know, Dak Prescott, like, it's all great, but then you get into the postseason and, you know, he falls apart. And so I think, like, you don't know until you know. Like, Dak Prescott, they just, you know, made him one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the National Football League, and there's no question that there's all kinds of doubt in some people's mind about, okay, yeah, but when we get to the postseason, how's he going to play? And I think that that's the case with Levis or Burrow or any of these guys where it's like, all right, you're still a young player. How do you know you're not going to make those mistakes again? You don't know until it happens.
Yeah, and with that being said, Tim, how do – because, listen, I never played quarterback in college. I mean, in high school I did, but I was like the third string guy. But how do you know or how does a quarterback feel when he has this tremendous arm and he know he can make every throw – but the because this is what the Titans, I believe, are going to have to do, rely heavy on a run, whereas Brian Callahan is calling more run plays than pass plays and not putting some of the weight on Will's shoulder. How does a quarterback react to something like that, knowing that he can make those throws, mm-hmm. that he can, you know, make the deep ball throw, whatever throw he needs to make, but the coach says in his mind, his game plan is, we're going to run the football, and we're going to protect whatever lead that we have because what the quarterback has proven to us that he can't make the right decisions at critical times.
Yeah. Well, I think that here's what I would say in terms of a team that commits to running the football. I think that no matter what people say about why they are doing it, you know, an unselfish team-first quarterback will embrace it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, look at the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. Like, they've got a really talented quarterback, good receivers, good tight ends. They decided, we're running the football. Like, and so, like, for whatever the reason, was the reason, you know, to most people's eyes, not, you know, to protect the quarterback from making a bad decision. It's just like, hey, we're going to run it, and Rams, you can't stop us, so we're going to keep calling runs. Like, that's what we're going to do. And so, or look at the Chargers. Like, the Chargers are another team that, look, they want to run the football. And I think that if, you know, Justin Herbert looks at it as, no, the offense needs to revolve around me, and you know, that being the case, then I, I just think you can get into trouble that way. Whereas I think if you just understand and trust that, look, we're going to do what we think is best in that moment. And look, if they didn't trust you, then they probably have somebody else out there instead of you. Like, I just think that that has to be the mentality. And I think you're just going to have more success that way. Like, I think the Chargers, like, just take it away from the Titans. I think the Chargers are going to have more success this year because they're actually taking it out of Justin Herbert's hands. And that's not because Justin Herbert can't do it. It's just because, like, look, that's a tried and true formula to say, like, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to commit to the grit and the toughness of running the football. And our quarterback will make enough plays. But, like, we're going to commit to this because we know that it's a tried and true way to be successful, and it's going to help our quarterback.
That's a good point. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, what about the mental part of it? You know, here you are doing coaching now. You've been on the other side as a quarterback. The communication after the disaster about that. And also maybe as a head coach, how you try to pick up the pieces with the team. Because I if I'm Will Levis, I know how I would internalize a game like that. And it would be hard to bounce back. And I would be wondering, hey, did I just lose the team a little bit? I know the team will all say the right things, but there's that in the locker room, there's that feeling. You want to have the feeling that the locker room is confident that that's not going to happen again. So what about that process? Because that's got to be a huge part beyond the X's and O's of what Brian Callahan's job is this week.
Yeah, I think these situations are the hardest, right? So sometimes, like, if a quarterback throws an interception, and it's like, the receiver's route wasn't great. The left guard kind of missed his blocks. There's a little bit of pressure. The quarterback, the throw was a little high. Maybe you didn't love the decision. Like, when you go into a team meeting or an offensive meeting, I think there's probably enough mystery in everyone's mind about, like whose fault was it really? Like, maybe everyone kind of had a hand in this, right? I think when something is so bad that it's like embarrassing when you – not like it, it's embarrassing when you watch it, I think those are worse, right? Like, a coaching point doesn't even have to be made. Those are the situations I think that are most that are most difficult to get over, right? Because it's like there's really nothing to do but look at yourself and kind of say, look, I need to be better in that moment. So and I think how that gets communicated by the coaching staff is no different than you would probably at any level. Brian Callahan comes in, is like, look, we're up, 17-0? We're up 17-0. Like, we obviously can point to a couple key plays that, certain guys wish that they would have done differently. At the same time, we probably can all be better in these various areas, coach included, to make sure that we don't lose a football game where we're up 17-0. And I think you kind of have to do that, and you hope everybody, understands, looks in the mirror enough to say, like, yeah, there were worse plays, but we can all be better.
How did you think Aaron Rodgers looked last night? I think you would have to expect a little rust, but what did you see, some little things that we wouldn't see?
I thought on the opening drive, it was like, okay, like, this is Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, this is what he looks like. And so I think that I think there are elements of how the ball comes out of his hand that it's like he looks exactly like Aaron Rodgers. I do think that even the best of the best, having a year off of playing, which basically is what happened to him, there will be some moments where, they're growing pain. I also think that they just played, on the road, one of the best teams in the National Football League. So, I think they can lose that football game. And I think the expectations for Aaron Rodgers should still be that he makes that team a Super Bowl contending team and could still, throw 30 touchdowns and fewer than, 8 interceptions and make them really good.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us every Tuesday at 11:30. Tim, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you
Tim,
next week.
Tim, real quick, on the way out, can you call somebody at ESPN and see if you can get this DirecTV ESPN thing worked out?
Yes,
I'd really
please.
Like to watch some of these games. I'm in that no play zone right now. It's kind of bumming me out.
You know, I mean, I think that just means that you need to subscribe to every streaming service.
I know, that's what I'm facing
every
right now.
Penny you have to make sure that you get every game no matter what.
YouTube TV, baby.
That was D-Mace's suggestion.
Tim, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every Tuesday at 11:30. 615-737-1025 will react to some of what Tim had to say. Coming up next, tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. I heard Walking in Memphis by Mark Cohn earlier today. That's a jam, by the way. Pre-game at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35 p.m., with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.